Welcome again to Monster Chiller Horror Theater on the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, 8th Dance, Dan Adu. Happy you're joining us. And I am joined by my good pals. I got Jumpin' Jack Hall in the house.
What's up, dudes?
All right.
I called you dudes last time.
Dudes.
Dweebs.
Dweebs. All right. Dork. And moving on, we got Nick Nick Boxer.
One giant greetings and salutations to you three, as well as anyone who happens to be listening.
All
the millions of millions?
Millions.
Millions.
Excellent.
Millions of Kung Fu Boogaloo-ites.
Boogaloo-ites, dude, I like that.
And as you can hear him laugh, you know that James Kata is in the house.
I'm thrilled to be here for this trip to around the world. As Frankenstein conquers the world, we see cities from Japan to other parts of Japan to briefly Frankfurt to other parts of Japan.
To stock footage of Frankfurt, yes.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. Much like the Boogaloo will conquer the world. In this movie, Frankenstein conquers the world. Not really.
Dude spends really his whole really. Time hiding in a forest.
Much like the Boogaloos fight giant monsters, so does Frankenstein. All right, Nick, why don't you tell us all about Frankenstein Conquers the World?
Sure thing.
This is always my favorite part of the show.
Because you never know what you're going to get. You never know if you're going to get an actual story synopsis or if you're going to get hot air balloon enthusiasts.
Well, I know how I would explain this, so I can't wait.
All right. So in the dying days of World War II, the Nazis designed to ship the Frankenstein's monster's beating heart to Japan for safety reasons. Upon arrival in Japan, it is immediately hit by a nuclear bomb. Cut to 15 years later, a strange child is found roaming and hunting wild rabbits and stray dogs on the outskirts of where the nuclear bomb hit. Now, some random scientists, one of them randomly seems to be white, and the only reason, only guy in the movie who seems to know anything of what's going on, seemed to adopt this child who immediately starts to grow larger and larger. Now, despite the fact that this child is green, they decide he's Caucasian.
Oh, we'll get there.
And he grows and grows. Finally, somebody sort of says, you know, this might be part of Frankenstein's experiments. We should check that out. But before they can check it out, he grows too large and wild and escapes. The rest of the movie, he spends hiding in the forests of Japan, strangely at the same latitude as his home in Frankfurt in Japan, which I didn't know Japan was that high up. The latitude does not make a lot of sense to me. But he eats a couple horses, or plastic horses, as I could see in the movie.
They were, yes.
And fights an earthquake monster. Also, if you saw the international cut, which I don't think you guys did, he also fights an octopus.
Oh, I did not see that. Fuck.
Oh, it's on YouTube and it's great. You know, at the end where he's defeated the earthquake monster and he sinks in the ground, octopus pops out of the hole and he fights that for another 5 minutes.
Oh, shit, we're pausing. We got to pause the podcast. And I'm not even kidding. We have to pause.
Oh, no, it's worth it. Just look up Frankenstein versus Giant Octopus.
Oh, dude.
It's a short 4-minute scene.
Frankenstein. This is at the end of the movie.
Yep.
For no good reason after everything's wrapped up finally.
No good reason other than it's
out. Other than that, that's awesome. A giant octopus. Okay. Frankenstein versus a giant octopus. I have found it. This is the type of thing you tell us way before the podcast, not when we start.
Yeah, except I watched it like at 5 a.m. this morning.
When did
and
this
I thought you wouldn't have appreciated the text when I bought it.
All right. Well, man, Nick, that thing is a crazy scene. It's interesting because he seems to have more hair in that scene than he does in the rest of the movie.
Well, an interesting point there. That could be alluding to the sequel to this movie.
The sequel this movie.
War of the Gargantuans, where Frankenstein is ripped in half, and due to his recuperative powers, two giant Frankensteins grow up and have to fight each other. One good, one bad.
Yeah, what is it? One blue and one red, or something like that.
Yes, and they are both very mossy in comparison to the film. So well, I think the hair could be alluding to that fact.
Well,
is this from the sequel?
No, from the sequel. This is
okay.
This was the American producers asked for one more monster fight, and then it wasn't ready in time, so they just didn't use it.
That's the one positive
they
about
also
Americans.
Asked
more monster
for,
fights.
They also asked for. Frankenstein to destroy a city to make it more exciting. However, that was never filmed.
Wow.
Well, I gotta say, like the one of the things that I love about this movie is the fact that it totally has that Godzilla feel. I mean, like Toho does it right. Like that between their miniature work and all the other stuff. I mean,
it's the same team. It's Ishio Honda here. He directing. The guy who did the original Godzilla. So it should have that feel.
Yeah,
which is why I would have described this, like, instead of going through everything, I would have said, have you seen a Godzilla film? Yeah. Like, that would have been my summary.
Yeah, that does not get the craziness. I actually appreciated that. I mean, with a lot of these movies, like, when King Kong fought Godzilla, they did not explain he'd ever been in New York. I actually like the fact that they started in Germany, had a whole backstory of how the heart got into Japan, had a whole team of submarine people die to get him there. I thought that was brilliant. That was that was one of the most entertaining things about this movie, is it sort of made sense.
And speaking of King Kong, I'll give you a great piece of trivia. This is based on a screenplay that Willis O'Brien, the original King Kong special effects guru, had created. So in believe it or not, it was King Kong versus Frankenstein versus King Kong was a story they were going to do. Oh, wow. And you know, never got past the storyboard stages, but yeah. Well, so that's,
it's so weird because in this case, Frankenstein seems like he really, I know the story's based around it, but it almost seems like he doesn't belong in the movie. It's just like, yeah, they added all this stuff in Germany and Frankfurt and stuff like that, just so that you could, find a way to connect him into a giant monster fight. And hey, I love a giant monster fight as much as anybody. So that's the part of this movie. Like, as you watch the movie, there's and here it's very interesting because I've seen this movie twice now, because it is also on that list of the top 50 worst movies of all time. So I remember watching
that it. Is a crime. This is a good movie.
Oh no, and
fuck
and,
you.
I mean,
it's a great movie.
It is. And but the funny thing is that I'm watching it in the first half an hour, I'm like, I don't remember any of this. Have I seen this movie? But then the second that you finally see the giant monster and once you get into Frankenstein fighting the giant monster, it's just like, oh, I totally remember this movie now. You know, because the first half an hour of the story and trying to build it all up, it's just like, wow, okay, this is kind of boring. But then...
Oh, nothing happens for the first... This movie is an hour and 15 minutes long. So it's 85 minutes. First 70 minutes, nothing happens.
But for afterwards, man. Oh, but
The 15 minutes or something happens is so unbelievably, amazingly, credibly, stupendously, tremendously awesome.
Well, I actually thought
you're so happy you watched through the rest to get to it.
Oh, for sure. I thought the fight with Frankenstein and the Baragon monster, I actually thought that was 45 minutes long by itself, because it did seem to be the longest monster fight in history.
But it's not even close.
You look at it on its face value, it should suck, because Baragon is not a good monster. Is not, but because Frankenstein has more maneuverability than any of the rubber suit monsters ever did, it adds so much more you can do with the giant monsters.
Well, I mean, this is just good fight.
Yeah. But they're using real moves. Most of the time, it's just two guys in rubber suits who can barely move, swatting.
Well, and keep in mind, after they decided to, you know, like I said, it was based on the script for Frankenstein versus King Kong, but they were going to make it as Frankenstein versus Godzilla, and then decided that would be too implausible. I'm serious. thought the proposed fight scenes would be too implausible.
Oh, I mean, there's so much here. Like, I think where you're really going to get into the crazier stuff is like the story itself, pretty consistent for a Godzilla movie, but it's when you get crazy when they got lazy, and there's a few times where they got lazy. I mean, Nick, you mentioned the horses and stuff like that. I mean,
I got a fun fact for you.
Oh, sweet.
On that horse, they actually had that horse arrived on set, and they had an option because they didn't have a good feeling that toy horse would not look good on screen. So they had another option ready to go, but the special effects supervisor found that bad looking horse so incredibly funny, he used it anyway.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yeah, it's on purpose.
It's on purpose.
Yeah.
And I mean, how do you not love that stuff? It's great. There's a lot, and especially you could almost watch like the first 10 minutes just to kind of get yourself an idea, and then fast forward for about 30 and then come back. I don't know that you'd miss much.
Or you could just watch the fight scenes on YouTube.
there is that.
But there is a lot of WTF. It's just slow moving WTF in the first 70 minutes.
For sure.
You know.
I mean, are you saying you did not fall immediately in love with Nick Adams and his girlfriend?
Well, of course.
Is she his girlfriend? Because she later on in the movie she keeps referring to him. She keeps talking him doctor. She keeps calling him doctor though.
Actually, he does mention a husband at one point, but he did.
Well, I mean,
formal with him, though it looks like he's staying at her house.
Yeah.
At various times in the story.
Well, I mean, he's a single man. He can't cook for himself, obviously.
Yes, he can. He totally can. I mean, he is.
You know what he could cook? His octopus.
He's a barbecue expert. I mean. Oh God, Nick Adams!
I love that he has the most. He has literally the most American barbecue apron in the history of barbecue aprons. They show him barbecuing inside her house, and he's wearing a barbecue apron that has an American flag on it and a barbecue hat to go with it that has stars, has like a star field.
Yes.
Well, and they did, even though it wasn't. They built it when they were marketing it in America, as a co-American Japan production. So they were clearly trying to get to the American market as much as they could.
There's a lot of random elements to the story. I like when the scientist who was originally part of the team who wanted to who had Frankenstein's heart brought in, and he wanted to experiment on it because, I mean, the concept was that they wanted the heart so that they could see if they could regrow limbs and stuff like that. And when he comes in and he's just like, I'm convinced that there's another monster. And then for like 5 minutes, it's him attempting to convince, like, it's like the army, and then it's the newspapers.
Oh, God, that sequence is amazing.
And then it's something else. He's like, and he's just like going down the list, and it just becomes sadder and sadder the longer it goes on of him trying to convince people that it's not Frankenstein, that it's this Baragon monster. And I just, that scene is just so crazy.
Yeah, it's him walking around. And then at the end, it's like, well, sure, we're going to keep trying. They're like, well, we're out of money. Yes. And I'm like, well, how long have you been doing this for?
I freaking love the scene where they, for no, just out of nowhere, start talking about how much money all of this is costing. And yeah. How much money do we have left? Well, we have enough to pay for the hotel, for the motel we're staying in. The helicopter has been really expensive.
And then the very next
scene is them back in the helicopter.
And they're tossing food out of the helicopter to Frankenstein.
Oh, fuck. They toss food out of the helicopter. And then Frankenstein, who's 40 feet tall and nobody can find. Right? All this time they're walking around trying to convince people. 40-foot tall monsters out there nobody's seen. So he picks up this food. He holds it in his hand. It's as big as his hand. But it was tossed from a helicopter that's the size of one of his fingers.
I don't think there's...
Of all the inconsistencies in this film, how big Frankenstein is.
Oh, God.
It varies from, like, scene to scene.
That's why he was growing throughout the whole thing.
But apparently growing and shrinking. Depending on...
It was unbelievable.
The reason they couldn't find him was because Japan is filled with giant monsters, and so don't know where to look.
Because he shows up because he falls for the girlfriend or whatever her name was, doctor, or what was her name? What's the girl?
She was a nurse. Yeah,
she was a nurse. Yeah. So, anyways, he falls for her, right? Like as typical of the giant monster falls for the cute human girl. So he shows up at her apartment, and at this point he's like 30 feet tall. And apparently it is so common for giant monsters to be around Japan that nobody says or does anything or even notices him. He just walks in, hangs out there for a while, talks to her, sort of. She talks back, then walks away. And I'm like, nobody's called the police or...
She is a doctor, by the way. She's not a nurse. She's a doctor.
Oh, she is a doctor, yeah. She's mentioned something
about... And that's one thing I can never tell. The characters in this, are they scientist doctors or are they medical doctors?
I think she's medical. Well, she just makes some reference to the hospital wants her back or something like that.
Yeah, and Dr. Bowen is going to go back to the United States because you know... he needs to be a doctor in the United States instead. But because they're there to test.
Well, he is in Japan because he had something to do with the atomic program in the U.S. and felt guilty.
I actually thought he said he helped invent the nuclear bomb.
Yeah, like it's just
which really is what confusing because that's a completely different kind of doctor.
That's true.
Well, he said he had. It sounds like he invented it, but I mean, maybe he just took care of people who had the flu at the Manhattan Project or something.
Well, there's a moment I knew they were doctors because there's a moment later on where one of the doctors gets hurt, and so Frankenstein saves him, and then the next time you see him, he's got some really simple bandages on him, and so I knew they were doctors because it's just like, hey, how did
Even the white guy was a doctor then, you're saying? Nick Adams, even?
Oh, yeah.
Dr. James Bowen?
But he was a medical doctor,
you're sure?
He was a medical doctor. He was treating people who had radiation poisoning.
Because the very first time that the boy shows up and they see him from her apartment, he's just being apparently hit by a car. And his response to a boy who's living on the streets, clearly hungry, with no shoes or food, his response is, hey, close the window and close the drapes. let's get back there. That kid looks weird. I'm not worried about him at all.
Gary, hey, he did yell out the window, hey, kid, are you all right, didn't he?
Well, okay, I'm sorry. You're right.
That's Gary. All the Hippocratic Oath asks you to do. For first, do no harm. Second, yell out the window and see if they're okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And apparently, and after that, he had no concern for this kid. And then they show up looking for them for no reason. And then they find him in this huge cave in the side of a mountain with like 400 people, including all these kids who are walking up the side of this cave to find this monster kid.
Hey, man,
who then just disappeared from the scene for no reason. I don't know what's happening.
If I suspect a monster is hiding in a cave, I'm sending the kids in first to flush them out. That is just good tactical sense.
That is tactically sound.
So I want to ask a question about the timeline of this movie. Okay. The movie was actually released in 1965. So the movie begins. Just shortly before, it begins sometime while the Nazis are still in power, and then they start experimenting on the heart, and then the Hiroshima bomb happens. So, I mean, that's less than a year. That's like 4 months apart. So that's fine. Dr. James says, it's been 15 years since Hiroshima, which is only 1960. Do I then take that they had the kid, they had the Frankenstein kid for 5 years? Is that the reading?
Well, he had, because after the bomb was dropped, the heart was lost, but it was still bathed in the protein solution. Yeah. So it grew the kid.
Yeah.
In that period of time. And he survived on his own for that length of time.
Yeah. But there's a reference to it's been 15 years since the bomb.
You're right.
He's talking about the victims of the like the radiation poisoning and still in Hiroshima and says it's been 15 years.
Okay, so it came out
1965. So I'm interpreting from that it took 5 years for the Frankenstein boy from the time they find him to when he's like 40 to 100 feet tall.
it's true.
You put way more thought into it than they did.
He started growing. I liken it to the fact that once they start feeding him, then he starts growing.
For that 15 years, he didn't have access to food, a protein source, which he needs to grow. He didn't really start growing large until he was eating regular, which is when they found them. That was my interpretation.
All right, fair enough. That's, I think, equally valid.
So he started growing at an exponential rate once he was discovered.
All right. Anyone else want to take a stab at this?
I'd say that's like a 3 month period, not a 5 year period.
I'm more worried about the fact that they bring him in, and like you say, they bring him in and they go, well, he's a white kid. Despite him
being green.
Forget being green. Yeah, his skin doesn't look white. His eyes shape doesn't look white. Nothing looks white. And it's like, you just know the producers are going, say he's white, but he's not white. He's just say it though. They'll believe it if we say it enough. And it's unbelievable. But I just love that he's first there and she's talking to him and they have the television on. It's like, he's responding to the sounds, but he doesn't know what the words are. So then he picks up the TV and he throws it out the window. And then she walks over to him and goes, that was bad. And he goes, oh, and I'm like, wait, he knows what the words are. You just said.
I think, you know, there's a lot of talk these days about white actors playing Asian parts. I think we should give this movie a lot of credit for having an Asian actor play a white part and then just go with it. Japanese actor Koji Furuhata, who played the German Frankenstein monster.
Oh, man.
The makeup was awesome, though.
What?
I enjoyed this... he had that gap tooth thing going on.
Okay, I have a question.
I love. I thought the makeup looked good.
I raise a question. So he can grow back an entire arm or an entire leg, but not a front tooth.
I just thought it was a first that he had a gap tooth, not he was missing a tooth. It's good movie, goddammit.
So, and amongst the many questions of this movie, so Frankenstein grows completely from the heart. So all that was left of the original Frankenstein monster was the heart, and they say that he can regenerate even from just the heart. He regenerates it into an entire Frankenstein monster. So that's who our hero is. Why does he still look like he's sewed out of parts? Like, wouldn't he just like look like the guy whose heart it was from originally, instead of looking like the monster?
Still has radiation poisoning and stuff. Some
recovery from the tooth thing. Excuse me.
These are the things that stick with me.
It's
written down here. Frankenstein is ugly.
Yeah, I mean, you can't fix that head, can you? I think you just, well, I mean, and what kind of a Frankenstein movie would it be if you just had some regular dude? Hi, I'm Frankenstein's monster. Really? You just look like a regular dude. Yeah.
That is essentially what they did.
I can fix.
They literally went casting, and they thought, we need somebody to play Frankenstein. He's going to be 40 feet strong or tall. He's going to be incredibly strong and powerful. See if you can get the skinniest kid you can find to play this role. Because even at 40 foot tall, I'm like, this kid weighs no more than a buck 25. Like, this does not look strong or powerful at all.
Well, he's strong enough to beat up on a monster or a guy in a rubber suit.
Holy fuck, that what a monster.
Man, that so monster. So...
I love the jumping motion that monster makes. And it makes the sound. And then it just kind of springs forward in this and lands. And you're like, it's awesome. But this monster, should be said, is not a result of radiation or anything. This is a some sort of dinosaur that's just been burrowed and lived underneath the ground for this long. Is that right? Is that what I got? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
You got that right.
Yeah, it's been underground for all these years, and
with all the massive food sources in the middle of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, actually, I don't know why he's coming out.
He is
now
a guardian of the earth, which is established in other Godzilla films.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Baragon.
He is sort of like the guardian.
Was this the first time he shows up, though?
This is the first they established. It's retconned later that he was the guardian of the earth.
Well, in the Japanese title, as far as I can do with Google Translate, is Frankenstein versus the underground monster Baragon. That's the best translation I could do of the Japanese title.
Uh-huh.
Which means exactly the same.
What thing. I'd like to Which know title? Is that, was there a lot of monsters or dinosaurs back in the Jurassic era that had the ability to shoot beams from their mouth that we don't know about
and had glowing horns. I love the glowing horns.
Well, we don't know. I mean, a lot of people think they had feathers. I mean, glowing horns seems less ridiculous.
And lasers? Lasers popping out of his mouth? Because when he shoots it, it does make the laser sound effect.
It's fire.
It was not fire, it was a laser.
Godzilla had the same thing. So it's fine.
But Godzilla was
Godzilla had atomic shit. Breath. You know you're monsters.
But he was created by radiation. This one they said wasn't.
That's why he shoots fire, not atomic breath.
Perhaps we should score battle. This thing now.
I think let's go to scoring.
Let's go to scoring.
Did Jack, did you come up with alternate titles for this movie? Like it was probably it's one of those ones probably got like released as 8 different things.
You would think so, right?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Did you have some?
No, just the two. I mean Frankenstein Conquers the World.
And then I know that they were gonna call it versus the I think Giant Devilfish was one of the proposed titles, but it was never actually marketed as that.
Well, cutting out the only fish in the movie would explain that.
That would harm. I love that Nick Adams is like the posters are Nick Adams starring in, which makes it feel like Nick Adams was a bigger yeah. name than
really he was a big star in those Japanese films. I mean, he stars in The Green Slime, one of my all time favorites. He's in a bunch of those films, always as a different character, but always playing Nick Adams, if you know what I mean.
I
he would have been a familiar face. He would have been the white guy in a lot of films.
The white guy in the Japanese movies.
All right. Well, these movies. Oh, go ahead. Actually, I'll save this right for the end. I do have one good piece of trivia.
Moving into the scoring, we rate these movies on 5 categories, none of which are objective quality. And our first category we call Sherlock Appeal, and we start with Stan.
All right. Well, this movie, it takes a little while to get going, but once it gets going, it goes pretty well. There's some good schlock. Rubber monsters are always good. And I really truly can't explain it enough how much I love the miniature work that goes on in these movies. So I'm going to give this one a solid 7.
I'm going higher just because it's American Japanese production. It's a Godzilla film without Godzilla. You have a giant Frankenstein who fights a underground guardian of the earth monster
that
is never completely
no more Frankenstein explained. Than you are. You have a giant kid.
Well, and they explain all that with radioactivity and the impossible beating heart.
How
all explained?
If he's still a kid, like how tall is this Frankenstein monster going to get here? he's somewhere between, as I said, 40 to 100.
You feet. And your logic. Why do you have to think about everything?
Full grown, this kid could be 300 feet
just
tall.
Just take it at face value.
In that case, he could like just squish all the monsters.
Eight, he could be between 60 and 200 feet.
Yeah.
8, you say? All right. Yep.
I think 8's a good one. Like it, like on the one hand, it embraces its schlock, and I'm ready to go even higher. On the other hand, though, actually, I'm going to drop it to a 7 because I'm not sure how much of this is actually schlock and just instead is more just the Japanese film Toho style and just more of an acceptance of some of that
you're
schlock
not sure
stuff.
How much of it is schlock and how much of it is Japanese schlock? Is that your discussion?
Well, 7. I mean, Japanese schlock is impressive.
7.
All right. I also love the miniatures work in this. And I think the scene where Frankenstein tracks down the lady doctor is probably I think that's actually the best miniatures work in the whole movie because they've built two big buildings on either side of them.
Not the bombs being dropped in the the water with the plastic boats.
The submarines being downed by the by the explosives. I think that's the one where they really really went for it with the miniatures. It doesn't look like now it's we know this stuff's going to get walked on by one of the creatures soon. That's why it looks like a toy car. It's authentically sells the size of the character at that point. So I'm giving this a 9. More heart than budget.
Well, I do tend to agree with the concept that this definitely has a real Japanese Toho feel. So it's very consistent with what I expect out of that. So I'm just going to go with a 4 because there's some moments, but I think it's consistent.
6, but I can't defend it in you anyway.
Oh, they're trying so much to make a movie just as good as Godzilla, and they just failed. But they tried so hard. 8.
All right, and I also won't defend it, but I'm giving it a 9. Screw y'all. I think the idea of like giant Frankenstein monster fighting anything is just like just to come up with a convoluted way that you get a 40 to 100 foot Frankenstein monster so that it can fight a Godzilla type character, I think is amazing. All right, our next category. And please do try to keep this to 20 minutes of what the fuck moments.
Well, for me, the biggest one, and we talked about it earlier, it was Dr. Nick with the American barbecue outfit. Like, that to me was like, I'm watching this and I'm like, and he's explaining to her like, oh yeah, well, you know, like in the U.S., the barbecue, you gotta have the fire going. It's just like, what the hell are you doing? Like, this is so out of context for everything else. And I found it so very American and very funny. Good God, of course, I mean, we could talk forever about the height of Frankenstein. We could talk about how you can't find him stuck in the middle, even though, like, I don't know how fast he moves on land. You would think that they could have figured that out, but like, and they feed him, so you would think that they would know exactly where he is based on that. But yeah, he's just hiding in the forest, so it's totally fair. I'm going to give this a 7.
Having for years only had this is the first time I've ever watched the American cut. I've watched the Japanese cut several times. So I always thought the octopus at the end was in the movie. So I'm scoring it that way for the octopus that isn't in the American version that we watch. I'm giving it an 8 because that is just wacky that there's just this extra octopus fight at the end on land for no apparent reason. And that was the movie I loved. I was really frustrated when I popped this in and went, I remember a whole different ending. What the hell is this?
That's pretty fair.
This movie so much deserves a 9. It's not quite like the bar has been raised so high to get a 10. But I mean, you have a 40-foot tall kid who's like got no skills or can't speak. So they can't find him. And somebody says, how can we not find him? Is this big kid? And somebody else goes, well, he thinks like a human. I don't even know.
That's right. He thinks like a human. That explains everything.
What? Like, you just, if you want more reasons why this is a 9 WTF, go listen back to the show once again to everything I've said so far.
There are, I mean, as well as the big picture weirdness of this movie, there are so many little subtle things that make no fucking sense. Yes, I know. There's this great scene where they have asked the media to find out more about where this boy grew up, how he was raised, and so the third doctor, the doctor that's just there so someone has someone to talk to, comes in and he's got this giant stack of letters. And he starts handing piles of letters to the other two doctors. And he says, we got over 400 letters. And the other doctors take them and they have big mittfuls of letters and they're about to do something. And then the third doctor says, and none of them were of any use.
Man, the motivation on why that last doctor wants to suddenly kill him and why the others don't makes no sense. Like,
well, the mere fact that they're debating for the entire movie, whether to kill the monster or not, is insane because they spend the equal amount of time discussing how they can't kill the monster.
That's right. Frankenstein can't be killed. So it's like, should we kill him? I don't know if we should kill him. And then, yeah, you're right. At the very end, that's when he's fighting that octopus. He's like, did Frankenstein die? And by the way, I do love the line, what is that? It's a giant octopus. Very calmly. Bear, Molly said. Yeah, I do. Right. Yeah, you sit there, literally goes, like, and it's like, Frankenstein can't die. That's like the second to last line in the movie.
I just don't know
after
how
the whole time spent talking about killing him.
I don't know how they like, this is Japan. I really don't know how they can't. They can't believe that there's a giant monster. Meanwhile, you've got a giant fucking 40-foot Frankenstein and no shortage of giant monsters popping up. Why is it so hard to believe there's a giant monster?
another little tiny what the fuck is. Okay, so we've got our hero and our female lead are doing the barbecue thing, and Third Doctor is back still at the office. And they cut to him and say he's still hanging out with Frankenstein. What he's actually doing is hanging out with Frankenstein and day drinking. He pours himself a glass of whiskey or sake or something while he's there at work in his suit.
That was just to gain courage because he was going to tranquilize the beast.
How about the fact that they're keeping this kid in a cage? And they ask, is he in there because he's dangerous? They're like, no, it's just, you know, like the only place we can keep him.
It's for his safety, I think, is what they, what they say. So the last little tiny WTF, and then I'll give my score.
No, really, actually, at the beginning. After you give this one, just I want one more small one after this one because there's awesome. So many small ones we've missed. Give at least two or three more.
At the very beginning, then Dr. Nick is. I know it's not Dr. Nick, but Dr. Nick is
hey, treating everybody.
A woman who's dying from radiation poisoning, and she gives him a gift, and he and the woman doctor are walking down the hall, and she says. I think she knows she's going to die. And Dr. Nick says, I guess she does. She just has a second sense about these things that tell her that.
Oh, that's just a translation error.
It's the English. It's the American actor who says it.
What about his motivation for why he wanted to move back to America? I didn't understand any of that. What was that?
He was just giving up. He didn't think he was doing any good. He needed to do something else.
But he was going to go to America and do the exact same thing with less resources, what he said.
All right, I'm giving this an 8, and we can move into what we call memorable moments.
Memorable moments. Well, it's funny. I would argue that there is not a lot at the beginning, because I didn't remember a damn thing from when I watched it, but there is no doubt that having a Frankenstein taking on a giant monster, that once I remembered that, it was like, oh god, of course, because I had remembered that before. I just couldn't remember the fact that it was in the movie called Frankenstein Conquers the World. And why was the movie called Frankenstein Conquers the World again? Because he doesn't. Not.
Oh, you guys are much too literal. It makes perfect sense if you don't think about it.
Anyways, I'm going to give this one a 3.
Oh, wow, you're old. I'm going with this.
Did you just say he's old?
I'm old for this.
You meant low, I think. I think you meant low, but
I meant cold, but whatever. Oh. cold. He's cold.
Okay, all right.
I actually think this movie deserves a 7. I mean, that end fight alone, Frankenstein versus fighting Baragon against a backdrop of fire. I mean, that's gorgeous. And it's a freaking long scene. And I would argue one of the best rubber suit monster battles of any of these films. It's a great fight scene. And I can easily see me watching this over and over again. Every time I think, yeah, I'm having a bad day. I just want to watch a guy, a badass rubber suit fight. I'm going to pop this one up on YouTube.
Yeah, so, no, this is 7. This is a like the first 70 minutes is a 0. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's terrible. like boring and whatever. It's just WTF, but it's just not even exciting. But that 15 minutes is so amazing. It's a 99 trillion. So I don't know what that evens out to. 0 + 99 trillion divided by 2. So that's the score. But it is the best. Like it's seriously one of the best 15 minutes of the most entertaining and cool. It's so cool, that fight scene, that it makes up for everything. It's the best fight scene and cool moment and climax and everything like that in one of these films since King of the Kickboxers. And it's even better. So I'm going to give the film overall an 8. I will never forget that scene.
Yeah, you don't get many movies that you have two giant monsters fighting and a headlock is employed.
Yeah, and I think it tries a leg lock at one point and on this thing. And then you got the fires what put it over the top.
Yeah. Some of it is a little bit shaky green screen, but a lot of it looks really, really good.
I'll give this one a 7. I think I really think it's clever to have worked out a way to have a mostly human looking person fight one of the kaijus. A Frankenstein kaiju is a cool concept. Speaking of concepts, let's go into crazy concept.
Well, I mean, as you say, Frankenstein going up against a kaiju, that is totally worthwhile. So, based on that, good, tying it in, of course, to Hiroshima and the bomb, and the fact that the Frankenstein monster has the still beating heart and can't die, and then if you were to add in the octopus, poof, solid 7 right there.
Yeah. 8. Title says it alone.
Have you guys... You're asking me what this score is in Crazy Concept. Have you listened to what we've said about this movie? This is a 10.
I think it's a strange one to pitch. We're like, okay, what do you want to do next? I want Frankenstein's monster to fight Godzilla. Like, well, how would that even work? Like, isn't Godzilla like 100 feet tall and he's like 7? Like, no, we got that worked out. I'm giving this a 9. I do also want to say that, Stan, you mentioned the Hiroshima tie-in. It's funny, like I hear people now that talk about how disaster movies and sci-fi are too impacted by, too looking back toward 9/11 as a benchmark, but this is 20 years after Hiroshima, and this entire genre of movies exists because of Hiroshima. This is all Japan's way of dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I actually had a question about the movie here. I don't ever remember them saying Hiroshima in the movie.
Well, the American cut, they got rid of it. That was one of the things that they had requested be taken out. So yeah, that's probably why.
I think there's still an off. No, it's the Hiroshima International Institute of Radiotherapy.
Yeah, yeah,
that's true. But they show actually showing the city of Hiroshima. I think there was a cut with that, and that the American cut takes that out. I believe.
Yeah, it was. I think you just see an airplane and an explosion is all you get in the cut that I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, it's not like they pretended it didn't happen, but all right. So that brings us to the end of voting, and every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This movie has none of them. So if you're trying to keep track of the list, this isn't one we'll help you out filling out your scorecard. It brings us to a grand total of 74.5, quite respectable. Puts it in the top 5 or 8, something like that overall. So really good score there.
Very good score. And if you need any more evidence on how awesome this movie is and why it's so great, I'd like to point out it was so successful in Germany that all big monster movies from Japan, kaiju movies, including Godzilla movies, were called Frankenstein movies afterwards.
No way.
Yeah.
Germans are fucked up.
And on that note,
well, all right. Why don't you tell them where to find us on the internet?
All right. Our show sponsors, We Talk Podcasts, have pages on Facebook, and they have a Twitter, and they have a great website, wetalkpodcasts.com, and that's where you can find the home of the Octagon and keep track of all of the movies as we rate them as the episodes come out. And you can also find us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and use the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo when talking about the B movies that you love.
All right. Well, after a little bit of Frankenstein Conquers the World, which was Frankenstein Conquers the Crazy, I don't know that he won, but that's okay. We're moving into Dracula AD 1972. So we finally get away from some of the Frankenstein movies for a little bit and jump into some Dracula. So that'll be a nice little change up for us. I look forward to that. Otherwise, I think we're almost about ready to go. So, thanks for listening to Monster Chiller Horror Theater. Oh, yeah. So, I am 8th Dan Stanadu. And for my friends Jim and Jack and Nick, thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.